Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. You got two of your hosts, Bucks and Brian. I'm clocking in from Brooklyn. Brian, say hello to our loyal listeners from the best coast.
What's good other than Cole frickin' Palmer? Oh my goodness, Bucks. This is a historic event for the Chelsea Blues. What a lad. What a legend.
Yeah, this might be an NSFW episode. So if you have kids listening with you in the car, or you have this on speaker at work, and maybe you have a Zoom going on at the same time, make sure to let your colleagues know that there might be some strong language, because I am absolutely on cloud 69. That's how good Cole Palmer was, baby. What a fucking player.
A 6-0 win for Chelsea. It's felt like a decade since we've blown out a team this badly. So nice way to cap some Monday footy. Monster scores for anyone who captained Palmer. Bucks, I think you had a stat here that you saw from FPL Focal on the old X. One of the highest scores in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, tied for the sixth highest ever FPL single game week score with 26 points. The highest since Mo Salah scored 29 against Watford in 2018. So shout out to past guest of the podcast and friend FPL Focal for that great insight. And that means that that's the highest score I've ever seen in my FPL career. Brian, as you know, you brought me into the game. This is my going on fourth season, I believe. So that's before my time. So Cole is the new GOAT. Mo Salah, sorry, you're old news, brother.
I know we talked about it last week. He really now has a great chance to be the best ever 6 million or less pound player in the FPL game. 4 goals. And still, you and I both own him. And I don't think we made many gains this week. So let's jump into it. How did your team score in game week 33, Mr. Bucks?
I did the best of the three hosts. I land on 72 points. Still not enough at my rank for a green arrow. I take a small red arrow from 23 to 25,000 overall. I'm happy with this game week. I used both of my free transfers on potential bench coverage. I know you and Dan were both slagging me for the moves. I moved Douglas Luiz to Garnacho and Kirkez, who stinks, to Gusto. I had a sense that Eight Nori might not be starting. Maybe Gabriel was flagged also coming into this game week. So I thought I might need those guys. And turns out it was a good move because Gusto gets the clean sheet, 6 points. That's huge for my score and keeps me on a relative gray dot. So like to see it. I wish I captained Cole Palmer. One time this season, I will have the armband on who's becoming my favorite player in the Premier League. It's hard to ignore how good he's been.
Yeah, shades of Hazard is what I thought after his first scintillating goal. The link-up play, the touch, links up with Jackson, coolly slots the ball on the left side of the back of that past Pickford. Great moment and a great way to add a couple extra shekels into our bank accounts, because betting anytime Cole Palmer goal, what, 10 goals in the last 6 matches? Just on an absolute blinder. So it's going to be tough to see him on the bench this week in my squad.
I don't know. I might be changing my plans for double and blank game week 34, which we will definitely talk on a lot on this episode. That will be the main meat and potatoes of this episode. Let's talk about your game week score, Brian. How'd you do in game week 33?
Let's pull it up here. We ended on 62 points, a red arrow. I got Neto in goal with 0 points, Gabriel with a 0-pointer. So that does not help the cause. Sun gets ripped off at the 57th minute as they get destroyed versus Newcastle. So very disappointing efforts from those gents. Bradley picks up a yellow card and then goes off injured. Not great for my side. And I captained Salah this weekend. I've been on him for the last 4 game weeks, and it has been utter disappointment each and every week. He's really kind of pulling a Kevin De Bruyne on us right now. Losing a step here, does not look at his best by any means. And I was just chasing the points after that 4-2 demolition derby from City. I thought that the Crystal Palace defense could be had. And again, I'm chasing, so I'm going with differential captains each and every week. And they're not coming off very well for me. So 62 points, red arrow. Whatever.
Brian, I like the reverse voodoo that I think you might be trying to pull going into double game week 34, saying, you know, Salah slagging him the way I was slagging KDB, only for KDB to put on one of his best performances of the season. And hopefully we'll see a similar explosive effort from Salah, as many will be captaining him with the double in 34.
Not me. I'm over this Salah guy. He's going to have his last ride in the sunset in game week 34 in my squad, and then I'm not going to own him probably the rest of the season. Maybe I'll bring him back for final game week for some fun, but he's out of here. My team sucks. he's sucking it up, and I think, we're going to get into a little bit of the rewind and talk about the top of the table, because people fucking bottled it all over the pitch for both Liverpool and Arsenal, but we'll save that for a couple more minutes. Let's just highlight our comrade Dan, aka Black Wolf. Absolutely brutal game week for him. He doubled his overall rank, unfortunately, from 7K all the way to 14K. Still in a great position to be in the top 10K overall, but he ends on 60 points. So not very good for Mr. Black Wolf, unfortunately.
But this is Nostradamus level prediction from Disco Dan, because he was saying that he always manages to fuck it up down the stretch run. And through no fault of his own, he's kind of just having a little bit of bad luck in the last couple game weeks. He kept Bowen over Foden for the Foden Patrick masterclass. Then Foden goes down injured. And then Son, who's been pouring in the points for Dan, also kind of was a total no-show in 33. So the brakes are breaking the wrong way. They have been all season for you, Brian, and now they're starting to catch up with Black Wolf and I. So still lots to play for, with three doubles in the next couple of game weeks and two massive ones to close out the season.
Yeah, that's right. And Dan ended up moving Bowen on this week, who is injured with a hip injury, and he brought in Kai Havertz, who picked up a yellow card and ended on 1 point. So he's well set up for the double game week, but disappointing to have your transfer score only one more point than a guy who's not going to play for another month.
Ain't that the truth? The average score this game week was 58 points, so pretty strong showing from many in the FPL community. We did see a number of managers go over the 100-point mark with triple digits, and that's a great transition to shout out the manager of the game week in our Press Play Premiership, our free podcast mini league, the winner of which is going to receive a jersey order sent to them for free from the three podcast hosts. So, Brian, who was that in game week 33?
Hitin Gulapalli, aka Hitman Squad, ends on 121 mother bleeping points.
What?
Doubles Dan up, nearly doubles me up. This is an insane roster of points. He captain Cole Palmer, 52 points. He has Isak for 12, Haaland for 10. Gordon comes off the bench for 17 points. That was an auto sub for Ayer at Brentford. So I don't even know if this is a live team, because he was starting a Brentford defender over Gordon.
That's the jammiest fuck I've ever heard.
I know, right? We're filling cans of jam here. Gvardiol, 12-pointer. Gusto, 6-pointer. Dubravka, 6-pointer. Absolute masterclass performance from Hitton. So well done to him. And then let's just filter here and see who's at the very top. We have the promised land. Frodo Baggins is the top of the mini league right now. He's leading the way for the t-shirt. He has a 17-point lead over IU Flecken Jurgenme, who has 2,083. So it's only 17 points between the top two managers there. Frodo Baggins, top 5K in the world. So well done to him. And we'll see who will get the free kit sent to them this season.
Yeah, he has his precious ring, but will he have his precious favorite player's kit by the end of game week 38? That remains to be seen. Tune in, Frodo Baggins, to find out more. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we will dive into the DVR and let's see what the highlights say from game week 33. There were some fireworks.
And we're back. Let's first of all cover the fact that both Arsenal and Liverpool absolutely dropped the fucking ball. They smashed it into pieces. And now, as always, Man City is in pole position to win their fourth consecutive Premier League. We will see what happens. Obviously, a lot of football left to be played, but let's start with Liverpool. They lose 0-1 versus Crystal Palace at home. That's two defeats in a row in front of the Anfield crowd, dropped in the same week they lost 0-3 versus Atalanta in the Europa League, and then they lose again to Crystal Palace. So, Bucks, what are the key takeaways from this one, other than supreme disappointment if you're a Red?
Shocking. Absolutely bizarre performance. Disgraceful performance. I mean, the fact everything was coming to a head for Liverpool going into, let's say, game week 25. You know, we were talking about the quadruple could be on when they kicked Chelsea's butt in that exciting FA Cup extra time kind of snooze fest for neutrals, but it was exciting for Chelsea and Liverpool fans, definitely more so for the Liverpool bent on that end and that W. And it looks like they're going to crash out of Europe, and they're absolutely crashing out of any chance of winning the Premier League. City are a wagon, and the fact that Liverpool and Arsenal both drop points at home is absolutely shocking, unpredicted, and this should have been a relatively cupcake match for Liverpool. Palace are not fully fit. Yes, Olise started, Eze is back to starting, but the fact that they got dominated so completely, and they made Palace look like prime Barcelona on that goal. They were just passing the ball around the whole pitch, around all 10 outfield players for Liverpool. They were second best and a step slow all match. So credit to Palace. This was a great win. Eze was the star. He gets 10 points. But I also think Henderson was exceptional. Mitchell, Muniz, Anderson, pretty much their entire starting 11 put in a real shift.
Yeah, and that's not to mention that the left back for Liverpool, Mr. Rabo, had to clear a ball off the line that was definitely heading in for the goal. So it could have been 2-0 in that one. And their defensive resolve comes good under the new manager and pick up a big 3 points for Palace. They're firmly out of the drop zone. Big, big moment for them. And whenever Eze and Olise are on the pitch, they have a puncher's chance to make some magic happen. And those are key guys that we'll cover later as we fast forward to our double game week 34 preview. But ultimately, we got the likes of Salah, Darwin, Jota. These mother bleepers just wanted Klopp to end his career early because they fucking missed every golden chance. Tons of shots, no conviction in front of goal. Like you said, it was pathetic. So I don't know. I guess Klopp is going to walk alone right out of that stadium and not be able to put a nice trophy around his neck on the way out.
Yeah, well, you know, they won one trophy, but not the serious ones that I think any really invested Liverpool supporter was hoping for. The Premier League title was in their grasp going into the last couple game weeks, and yeah, they've bobbled it, so to speak. And let's talk about Arsenal, because this might be two seasons in a row. They were favorites going into the stretch run last year. They ran out of gas. And it looks like the tired legs have caught up to them once again. They get bossed by Unai Emery's men, the villains, in front of the Emirates crowd, 2-0. And Ollie Watkins puts the sword to this team. And this is the one time when maybe a villain can show up with a knife to a gunfight and come out the victor. Because I was really impressed by the tactical strategy that Emery seemed to dominate Arteta off the pitch. And I was just shocked because it looked like McGinn was the best midfielder on the pitch. And that's with Odegaard and with Rice kind of bossing the middle normally for Arsenal. So this was a really great performance from Villa. They keep touch with the top four. So they're making a statement for Champions League spots, which I know Tottenham really want a spot as well. So Big result for Arsenal and Liverpool to both drop points, because the impetus was on them to kind of keep touch with Man City. Because we know at this point in the season, Manchester City, they rarely drop points. They tend to get the 3 points. Yeah.
They lock in and they score a few goals of their own this week versus Luton, which we'll get to. I think the interesting thing from the Arsenal and Villa match was that it was a very even match for the first 80 minutes until the breakthrough finally happened. And from an XG perspective, Arsenal was wasteful. They had a total of 1.64 XG versus the XG of 0.94 for the Villans. So it was a very close game. Possession was almost 50-50, but in front of the home crowd, you need to get that win or at least a draw to stay in the race. And now, man, every year there's contenders that show up, but the resolve and the champions mindset of Pep and his team, they're ready to close this thing out and get a few more W's coming up. So
yeah,
wrap it
looking
up.
more like pretenders, less like contenders after this game week, that's for sure. And making matters worse, Odegaard's now flagged. He had to come off. He looked like he was limping off. That's not great for.
He's gonna be fine.
Gunners.
He's gonna be fine. He's got a knock. It's not as bad as some of these other injuries out there. But yeah, that as soon as he was off the pitch, they really seemed to lose some of the control that they desperately needed. So unfortunately, he couldn't play the full 90, and it really hurt them there. And the defensive shuffling of some of the subs was also interesting to me. I think, you know, Ben White was on a yellow card, but he came off in the mid 60s. They also made a swap from Kiwior to Tomiyasu. A few substitutions that probably didn't do them any good.
Yeah, let's just quickly highlight Ollie Watkins, who's having his best season by far. He scores another goal, gets one bonus point. He gets seven more FPL points to his tally, where he's leading the game right now. He's well over 200 points, and he's on 19 Premier League goals. So right now, I think he's one of the main contenders for player of the season. Hard to argue against his output and the way he's leveled up since Emery has come in to be the manager there. And I think that's a nice transition to talk about the likely title winners once again and Manchester City, because Haaland also is back in his scoring ways. He gets a goal, 10 points all out, and he's at 20 goals. Is he leading the race by a long shot for the Golden Boot, or is it more nail-biting than it's been in some time?
Yeah, I mean, him and Cole Palmer are neck and neck right now, and Haaland comes good. You know, I think he didn't have a great performance, but when you're on penalties, you always have a chance to get points, and he had a big chance early in the match that he was kind of one-on-one with the keeper. The keeper blocks it on a breakaway, and then the ball ricochets off of a shot from Doku, and then Haaland just smashes the ball off the face of the Japanese international, and it goes in the back of the net in the first 90 seconds. And then I knew from that point forward, this was just going to be a tough day at the office for the Lutonians. So the final score was an absolute thrashing.
5-1,
the players,
and it was flattering. It was flattering because that Luton goal was in total garbage time. I think 5-0 is a more accurate representation of how the match played out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the big differential here was Gvardiol. If anybody had brought them in on an early wild card, potentially, he comes in with a huge 12 points. He gets a goal and an assist, and he actually scored two goals in a week. He scored in UCL, which was an absolute world-class goal from a defender. So he's rounding into form. I would love him to be this attacking and have this confidence heading into the rest of the season, as a lot of managers will look for a defensive player from City in double game week 37. So he's looking like, the experience in the Premier League is finally coming to a point where he's confident, and, you know, he's a world-class player, young guy, usually played center back. And so he's kind of playing a little bit more out of position, but Pep believes in him and he brings in a big haul.
Yeah. Forlex, who's a big Manchester City fan and someone who's joined our podcast, one of the best content creators in hashtag FPL USA. He's been glowing up Gvardiol. He's been one of his picks as one of the best transfers in to City. One of his analysis is saying one of the best players for City this season. And it's all starting to come up aces for Forlex, as well as for Josko Gvardiol, who gets the 12-pointer goal, assist, and one bonus point. He matches Haaland. Haaland also has a goal and assist and one bonus point on the day. And Doku was the man who was really in form. He gets a goal, two assists, and three bonus points for 16 points. So he's not really an FPL asset, but it is worth shouting out that City, even without Rodri, even without Foden, still get it done week in and week out. And that's why they're on their way to becoming four-time back-to-back-to-back-to-back Premier League champions. So let's talk about the teams that aren't really going for trophies but have still a lot to play for. You want to go? Let's go Newcastle and the way that they just – they shot the lights out of Spurs. Ain't that the truth?
Another team just falters who are looking to finish in the top four and get in the Champions League. This one was very surprising to me. I thought there would be about four or five goals, but I definitely was not predicting a 4-0 for Newcastle at home in front of their squad. So the player of the game week for them, Gordon, what a season he's having. He looks to be an excellent piece of business, another young England international player, 17 points, one goal, two assists, and clean sheet plus the three bonus. So if you had him, I've also seen him rooted to a lot of benches this week, which is tough when you have the curse of the eight attackers and you go to play somebody who's on pens over the likes of Gordon. So he had 17 points, 10 goals and eight assists so far this season. Great piece of business. And then Isak, one of my favorite players in the Premier League to watch, his compatriot up there in the front line, 12 points, two goals, two bonus. And man, that Isak move, imagine if you would have gotten him instead of Darwin. Just imagine, Bucks.
I dream about that, and then I wake up with cold sweats knowing that I have this fucker Darwin Nunez torturing my FPL team, haunting me as he continues to miss the goal. He's hurting fans in the stands more than he is hurting the back of the net these days.
Yeah, king of XG and no returns, that Darwin guy. You always think he's going to turn the corner, but it's been a frustrating season for him for sure.
Yeah, let's just touch on Fabian Schär, very good looking center back for Newcastle. He's also very good at putting the ball in the back of the net, much better than Darwin Nunez is. That's
he's a donger.
Sure.
He's a donger, yeah. Man.
Goal, clean sheet, and a bonus point. I want to say that's like his fourth or fifth goal this season. He's elite as a goal scoring center back. 13 points for him for his efforts. And yeah, Newcastle at home are just a totally different team than they are on the road. And that's something we should be mindful of as engaged FPL managers down the stretch run. Definitely something to note for their home games, specifically game week 35, when they play Chef U at home. You want to have at least one Newcastle attacker and probably one defender as well.
Four goals and three assists for Schär. That's very impressive work. And when we look ahead to double game week 37, which is coming up in a couple weeks, he's definitely somebody who I'm considering for my game week 35 wild card, especially at his price point, a little bit cheaper than going with somebody like Trips, although he's injured. But Schär continues to deliver the goods. And oh my goodness, Dubravka. I have gotten the goalkeeper rotation incorrect 4 weeks in a row between Dubravka and Neto, and it's been killing me. Who would have thought that they were going to clean Spurs? Oh my goodness.
Not me. That's why I don't have Dubravka anywhere close to any of my FPL teams.
Man. So like you said, those are going to be some key players that you'll possibly look for on Wildcard 35, which we will talk about next week. But let's just glow up one more time. The Chelsea Blues, 6-0 versus Everton. Huge.
Six,
massive.
6-0. Oh, it was so great.
The sexy six, baby.
It was really sexy performance, wasn't it? Cole Palmer, the motherfucking kid himself, Cole World, 26 points, four goals, a clean sheet, and three bonus points. He is tied with Erling Haaland for the joint Premier League lead for the Golden Boot with 20 goals. Even better than that, he's also tied for the Premier League goal involvement lead. He's one back of the leader for the Golden Creator Award. He has 9 assists. So he has 29 goal involvements this season. Unbelievable talent this kid is. What a steal at 45 million from Man City. Great scouting by Chelsea, even though it might have been kind of a backup plan. So we won't talk too much about that. He's a dream. He's a dream. He's so good. And he's so much better than Doku, who came in for 55 million. So I'm just thrilled that he's a Chelsea player. I can't wait to get his jersey because I didn't get it in preseason. So I'm chasing now. And yeah, he's definitely the young player of the season and clear the signing of the season too. What can you not say to just glow up Cole Palmer? He's that good.
He had the fastest ever perfect hat trick with a goal from his right foot, a goal from his left foot, and then the header in the first 30 minutes, right in Pickford's mug. I love to see that. And the Pickford mistake that led to the hat trick being scored was just hilarious. But it still takes a beautiful touch and the feel of the game to put that chance away from about 35 yards and loft it perfectly into the back of the net. So I think the other player to call out here is Nico Jackson, who I know you're a big fan of. He comes in with 14 points. He gets one goal, and it was a very great striker's goal. He really controlled this lofted ball with his left foot and then made a quick turn and put it towards the post right past Pickford. Love to see his confident play. He is now in double digits, four goals, and he will be somebody that a lot of managers might consider punting on. And he can't be worse than Darwin. So at this rate, he's probably going to be very popular, I would say, Bucks, especially for you who do not have any chips left. A move from Darwin to Jackson might be in your cards.
It might be, though Isak might just be the better player, and that might block me with so few free transfers left. I do want to just shout out in this Chelsea match. It's really impressive the way that this team rebounded from what has been one of the most challenging weeks of their season. You know, they have a massive game against Manchester City this weekend in the FA Cup semifinal. And this is a huge boost of confidence to win 6-0 against a much more physical team. And yeah, there's still all to play for Chelsea. We have an outside chance of making it to a European spot. So let's get it fucking done on the backs of Cole Palmer, and let's get him the Golden Boot trophy. The kid he's the golden boy. He deserves the Golden Boot too.
All right, that's enough of our rewinds. We're going to take our next break and dive back into preview. Double Game Week 34. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Let's dive in. Studs up. Let's go full reckless abandon as we go towards the double game week and blank game week 34. So for context, if you aren't a regular listener or have been living under a rock somewhere, Spurs will blank in game week 34. And then there are seven teams who play twice, including Arsenal, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Everton, Liverpool, Sheffield United, and Wolves. So I think most important to note is that Arsenal, Liverpool, and Palace have really good fixtures in this double game week and are teams to target if you are using any chips, specifically that free hit chip. What say you there, Brian?
I certainly wish I had my free hit chip for this game week instead of using it in 29. I think the big...
Hallelujah. Ain't that the truth?
That's right. Both of us had sub 25 point free hits. Oh my goodness. I'm still suffering from PTSD from that moment in the season. If you have your free hit, now is the time to use it. And then we'll also see a lot of other chips like bench boost possibly deployed. If you have a good looking team, this is a good moment in time to use it and then spread your funds towards building your game week 37 team, which is the other big double that has been completely confirmed. So lots of fun to be had. And I think when we look ahead to these matches, we're going to cover a lot of our favorite picks on the watch list and really our playlist here for FPL success. But where do you want to go first, Bucks? You want to maybe share one of your free hit drafts to kick things off here?
Yeah, I think maybe let's just stutter step quickly. Maybe we'll do a fancy Ronaldo-esque step over. And let's just talk about the optimal chip plans. Assuming you are not anywhere close to being me who has zero chips left in the bank. You know, you have your wild card, free hit, bench boost, and triple captain. Let's say the most popular. Let's say you have wild card, free hit, and bench boost. You want to just share your thoughts on the optimal chip strategy from this point on?
Yeah, so I have two chips left, which are the wild card and bench boost. So I will be wild carding in game week 35. I'm going to dead end my team this week and then load up on double game weekers from Spurs and Chelsea after that. So yeah, I think that's the clear free hit 34 if you have it. If you have a wild card, 35, and then bench boost or triple captain in 37. That's probably how I would play it, especially given that we're We're still in a tight race at the top. The league isn't wrapped up yet, so you would expect to see some rebound performances from Arsenal and Liverpool coming up here to hopefully keep the pressure on City. But I don't see them dropping any points for the rest of the season. But with that being said, we want them to fight it out till the death, till the very end, so all of their FPL assets who are relevant continue to get really high expected minutes in each of their matches.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is the time, if you have the free hit, to smash that chip, get a little weird and differential if you're chasing, and just cover your bases with 10 or 11 doublers if you are protecting rank. So with that, let me share my thoughts on an optimal free hit draft. I would definitely want to have a triple up on Liverpool. I want to have a triple up on Arsenal as well. And I've actually ended up opting for only double Arsenal in my free hit draft because I was so impressed with Eze and his performance against Liverpool that he's bossing out Kai Havertz for that kind of seventh attacker in my team.
Wow.
So I would be captaining Salah. He would be alongside Luis Diaz and Trent Alexander-Arnold from Liverpool. And then I would have Saka and Ben White for sure from Arsenal. I just want to mention, I have Trent, but most of the models do have Virgil as a higher scorer from a predicted points. But if you've played FPL for a long time, the allure of a Trent Alexander mega haul is hard to ignore. And I think if you are chasing rank, especially, there's no way most managers that don't have chips left, like myself, are going to be able to afford and bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold. So he's a massive differential, and he sets you up really nicely. If you are looking to swerve Salah, who's in terrible form, maybe Trent is actually outside shout for a great captaincy choice this game week. That might be a step too far. But,
too far,
I just
too far
into
the quicksand. Don't fall in the quicksand, Bucks. I'm worried about his expected minutes. I think he'll probably get about 120 over the two matches. So that's why a lot of folks will be happy to have VVD, who will play full 90 in both of them. We'll see what happens in European action and how many minutes he gets. They're down 3-0, so I don't see them making an epic comeback, but crazier things have happened. But that's an away match versus Atalanta. So I'm just worried that, you know, coming off of this injury, he wasn't really meant to play the 40 or 50 minutes that he was, but because of the possible ligament damage that Bradley suffered, he had to come onto the pitch and play a lot of minutes. So I would just be worried that he'd be possibly rotated a bit, but on free hit, he's definitely worth the punt because his upside is still very massive. He had a couple of shots and a couple of good crosses in his cameo over the weekend. So Eze, I think, is a pick that many managers will flock to, and I really like him. Two home fixtures is huge, and I think that's where you could really hopefully maybe grab a pen, make an open play goal. So I'm hoping for Eze to have over 12 points in this double game week.
I agree with you, and we should mention that he's going against two of the worst defenses on the road from an advanced stats and an eye test perspective. He's playing West Ham and Newcastle, both at home in front of the Crystal Palace faithful, and they are both conceding over 2xG per match on the road. So I think Palace score in both games. I think probably Eze has at least two shots in both games, and he's a player that is only 4% owned right now in the game, but I expect that number is going to be astronomically larger when we actually pass the 34 deadline. So he would be one of the players on my short list for sure.
Yeah, it's really funny here. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been really building our teams to have triple Liverpool and triple Arsenal. And I think you could probably chalk both of these losses up to outliers. I still think they're the clear second and third best teams in the Premier League. So I would still be happy to have six of their assets in total. So on free hit, you can take a few more risks. Like you said, going with Trent, going with obviously Saka and Salah, but where is the differential, right? Like, where are you going to gain more rank? And I think Kai Havertz is still a great pick. I would rather have him over somebody like Cunha. I still believe that the attack is just that much better for Arsenal. So I would be looking to go with two attackers, probably from both of those teams. And then maybe you put in a guy like Munoz from Crystal Palace. He could be a backline guy next to an Arsenal defender and next to Trent or Virgil. So that's a popular route. Aitnori, TBD on his injury. It's unfortunate timing because a lot of managers wanted to play him in the double game week. It is a tough one versus Arsenal, but then you have the home versus Bournemouth fixture, which he could definitely get a 10-plus pointer in. So wanted to shout those guys out as well.
Yeah, and I think Solanke and Cunha have made enough impressions to earn a spot in your free hit draft. Definitely Solanke is locked in. He's going to be starting in my 11. And I think if you want to skip Haaland, then maybe the third guy is either Darwin or Mateta. So those Cunha, Mateta, Solanke, and Darwin all have double game weeks. Haaland just plays once, but he plays away to Brighton. So I'm going to be going with Haaland. Again, I don't have a chip, but I don't think it's crazy to have a free hit and have Haaland and Palmer as your only solo single game week players, so to speak. So if you have 9, if you have 10, if you have 11, they're all different ways to earn FPL points, but those guys have been so consistent. They both have 20 goals. So they're both going to make strong cases to be in my team.
Look at you, a proud Papa Bear here, just going with the Acuna Mateta little Flying King slogan there for some of your strikers to target. I like that, Bucks.
Ryan, how about you? Are you going to be tempted by Chef Yu's finest, Ben Berenton Diaz? Will you be going there?
BBD is certainly my shout for FPL Challenge this week, where all of the newly promoted teams, well, I guess that's 35 game weeks ago or whatever, but they get double points. So if you captain BBD, you're getting quad points this week in FPL Challenge, but he will not be making my lineup for standard FPL this week, but he's a fun shout. And he has put in a couple big hauls this season for the Blades, but I think there are just better options and you don't need to really go for Ben Berenton Diaz there.
Yeah, you don't need any extra chefs in your kitchen, Brian. You're doing a perfectly good job with you and Ratatouille.
I'm the master chef. I'm the master chef in my household, and we don't have time for any other blades to enter my arsenal of cooking knives.
Well, look at you with the double reference there. I like the entendre that you're dropping there. I think at this point, let's give our pick for who's going to be the top scorer in double game week 34. And then let's put this to bed and transition to answer some FPL community questions. Ryan, who's your guy?
Top scorer. Wow. I think we should predict a top scorer from a single game week player and then also a double game week player. So I'll start with a single game week player that maybe we're overlooking, and that might be Bruno Fernandes, who is playing the likes of Sheffield United. He has 3 goals in his last 2 matches and scoring from open play and converting penalties, and is somebody that has really put up some big hauls in the past in the heart and soul of a United team that is dragging a bit. But he would be my pick if you're looking for a fun single game week player that also helps you build for the future doubles coming up later in 37.
Yeah, and he notably had 15 FPL points behind a brace in game week 33. So he's in white hot form. I like that shout.
Yeah, especially because he's playing at home versus Sheffield this week and then at home versus Burnley in game week 35. And just as a teaser, he's coming into my wildcard squad as a little punt here. And their double game week is rather tough, but 2 home fixtures, at home versus Arsenal in 37 and at home versus Newcastle. So that would be my high score from a single game week perspective. I think he outscores Haaland this week from the single game weekers. But when we're looking at the likes of the double game week players, who do you like? Who's your top pick? I mean, this kind of also leads to captaincy banter, but who do you like here?
Well, I have been locked in on Salah for the longest time. And I was like, oh, of course, Salah, bus team captain. I've switched it. I'm going Saka for captaincy this game week. And I just don't see it. Salah stinks.
That's not good.
Now.
That's not good, Bucks, because that's where I was leaning. And you know, everything I touch turns to poop season. So
I guess it's got to be Luis Diaz then for the captain's armband in 34 to swerve you entirely.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is a friend of the show, Connor Hunt, who is one of the best managers in the FPL elites and FPL USA community. He posted his team and he had solid caps, and I commented, so did I. And he was like, oh man, I better change it. And I'm like, we got to ride this together. And then I wake up on Saturday and find out at 2 a.m. he switched his captain back to Holland. And I'm the only one out here riding into the abyss on my little donkey, barely able to hold me up. And he collapses and Salah gets 2 points. Four points.
Smart man, Connor. Womp womp. Don't ride with Pancho Villa over here, aka Brian Chin, if you can well avoid it. So I like the Saka call. I also think that there's going to be a shocking defender who gets a goal. I've been riding the coattails and singing the praises of Rivaldo, Ronaldo, Prime, Ruud van Aitnori for some time now. But it's just like FPL this season for it to be Max Kilman who gets a goal and assist. No clean sheets, no any other points, but he gets 5 bonus points and 2 attacking returns in this double game week to be the highest scorer of the game week. It's just how FPL's been.
That's hilarious that you also leaned with a center back from a middling defense, because I was thinking about Joakim Noah Anderson from Crystal Palace as the possible donger who gets a 15-point performance and then maybe gets a double clean sheet or something crazy and ends up on 21 points. So that's who I was going to shout out as a random left field pick.
Yeah, but you know this season of how unpredictable it's been, that it's going to actually be like James Tarkowski, who has like 6 XG of goals, but only 1 attacking return this season. And it's all going to come good after losing 6-0. He's going to have 2 headed goals in double game week 34. He's going to absolutely crush Liverpool's heart and they're going to fall totally out of title contention. And that's the season it's been. It's been topsy-turvy and totally unpredictable. So my pick is Palmer as the top scorer from a single game week player. I'm obsessed. It's Cole's world. We're just all living in it. And we're heading towards the ice age with all this climate change mumbo jumbo. So we just buy a heavy puffer and make sure it's waterproof, because it's all coming up aces for my guy Cole Palmer.
I mean, this is the hardest fixture of the season for Cole away to the Emirates. So I do not see that happening, but you could definitely start him. I mean, whenever you start a player on pens, you have a chance to get 10 points, even
is
for
that
single
what
game
is
maker.
That what Emery said? Was that Unai Emery said that when they rocked up to the Emirates and kicked the shit out of the Gunners 2-0?
Well, I think you'd have to concede that Aston Villa is a way better team than Chelsea. Up and down yo-yo performances from Chelsea. We can beat up some of the bad teams, we can lose to the bad teams, but I don't see them scoring more than 1 goal versus Arsenal. So, all right.
I will admit no such thing, but transition us to the next segment, co-host.
Let's chat about a few of the community questions we have in our mailbag. Thanks for engaging with us on social as always. And we're going to go with at FPL Barrister, who asked, who are the best free hit 34 differentials? And are there any single game week players worth considering? So I know we covered a few of our single game week players. I would focus on targeting Haaland as one of those players, and then maybe a Manchester United guy, like I said, Bruno, because they have the fixture there. But differentials galore from the double game week. Who do you like here, Bucks?
Well, I want to ask you, and this addresses Barrister's question, since we might have stepped on this question's toes a little bit in the run-up to our discussion previously. Garnacho or Palmer as kind of the 7th attacker? What say you there?
Ugh, neither. I mean, I don't think you need to use those players this week, especially on free hit, but moving forward, you're going to want to have both Palmer and Garnacho potentially in your side. It is important to note that he got ripped off at halftime. ETH was not happy with a few of his defensive positions, and he actually had a really rough touch that led to one of the first goals that Manchester United gave away. I think he'll come back into the side. There's a lot of times where young players just need to take a breather, and hopefully he'll come back in for ETH and the Red Devils. But looking at differentials, I think Elise is somebody that is really high on the points per start when he's healthy. I just don't know how many minutes he's actually going to play in this double game week. Would you put it at over under at 120?
I don't get the Elise hype, to be perfectly honest. I didn't think that he jumped off the pitch watching the Palace Liverpool match, thought Eze and Mateta were the two best attackers, and it wasn't all that close to Olise being kind of third best. And I kind of like the idea of Munoz or Mitchell as the third guy. And you shouted out Anderson. So I think Olise is a skip because there are so many good midfielders, and he might not be on penalties with Eze now fit and firing. And so there's just less avenues to points for Olise. So I think that might be a bridge too far. But what I really do like is the idea of going with either Cunha or Mateta as that third forward spot. And I think those guys are super differential. They're cheap, so they're easy to get in. And I expect Cunha will be on penalties. I know Black Wolf is our Wolves correspondent, and he's the expert. He's still saying that he feels that Sarabia is the guy with that responsibility. Though I think Cunha is just so good. And if he steps up and demands the ball, he's their forward, he's their future, he's going to get it. That's my sense. So I think Cunha is the differential guy to get, and I would back him over Mateta despite the slightly harder fixtures.
Yeah, I'm definitely Cunha curious this week. He sounds like a fun player to own. Two home fixtures, one of those being versus Arsenal. So if he gets a two-pointer in that one, you're then just really hoping that he scores versus Bournemouth, which I think is definitely in the realm of possibility. So otherwise, differentials. Trent is a big differential. I would probably punt on him. Like we said earlier, Kai Havertz playing up top, clearly a better option than Jesus down the middle. So I also like going with the double Arsenal attack instead and fade their defense for the double game week and hopefully spike two big returns potentially. And I think when Kai gets returns, either an assist or also a goal, he's pretty good on bonus this season for being in the midfield slot there. So that's something else to consider, because over the course of a couple games in the game week, you'll have the opportunity for six possible bonus points. So I like that as well.
Yeah, I also want to throw Alisson into the mix. He's now fit. If VVD is too expensive, if Trent is too expensive, Alisson could be a super differential this game week. And I think for me, he's the best goalkeeper in the world. So if you can get him, free hit, you don't have to worry about having a super premium goalkeeper for more than just the double. I don't hate that. And I think he's going to be a differential pick. And I don't think it's crazy to say that he might outscore the other defensive options for Liverpool. I don't necessarily see that happening, but it's not crazy. He's a very fun player, but he doesn't have the upside. So it's just all about kind of going a little rogue in defense and then fitting in Alisson as your starter.
All right, next question is from Sonia Kukler. She wants to know, who are the best three Liverpool picks for free hit now that Jota and Trent are in the mix? So my quick take on this is we're going to have to wait and see what happens in the European action. For example, if Darwin gets 90 minutes in this Atalanta game, I am expecting him to play less than 120 minutes in the double game week. So Jota came onto the pitch and missed a big chance, one that he usually scores. And I think, again, coming back after being out at the pasture over the last kind of month and a half, he just wasn't in his form to slot that. But usually he's pretty clinical and was unfortunate not to get that coming off the bench. So Jota, it does cause a lot of concern. I would actually prefer if somebody gets injured from Liverpool so that one of those guys becomes the clear great option. I think Jota and Darwin probably rotate the best. So Diaz would be my second pick behind Salah. And then I would go with a defender, most likely on free hit. I would go with Trent if you're just trying to fit in some funds, like a spot that I'm in. I'm going to go with VVD instead. So those would be my rankings of the three. What say you?
I'm a lot less confident that having three is the best strategy. I definitely am not as sold on that as I was going into game week 33 based on how rough that week was. The Atalanta performance and then this Palace no-show was a little bit concerning, to say the least. I would say Salah, Diaz, and Verge are the optimal three. The ex-fun would be Darwin, Salah, and Trent. But you already know, based on some of the slander we've given him all pot, that Darwin is just a hot and cold player. And when he bangs it in, it's going to be celebrations because he can take 10 shots in a match. He can get a goal and assist pretty much out of nothing. That's the way Liverpool just pour the shots and attack on. He could also miss 10 shots and hit the post and totally, you know, run off sides unnecessarily on a 2v1. It's the whole experience with Darwin Nunez, and that's what you subscribe for.
Yeah, his XGI per 90 is right up there with Salah, but unfortunately they have both taken a turn for the worst over the last three or so game weeks. So it's going to be a roller coaster. Just retracing my steps here, another single game week player that I am definitely interested in would be Ollie Watkins. So if you were going to swerve Darwin and just hate on his lifestyle, then you could go with Junkyard Dog, Ollie Watkins, who has Bournemouth at home, and they're coming off of a performance that really solidifies their chances to land in the top four and make Champions League. So that's another random shout there. Just wanted to retrace our steps. And
I like that call. I actually think that that is not an unwise move, especially if you are dead ending your team at 35 and are not using a chip in 34. Junkyard Dog could get his 20th goal of the season against Bournemouth. I definitely rate him to be an odds on favorite to do that.
All right. Our last question comes from Corey Cummings, AKA the Run CMC. He wants to know who the best rogue captaincy shout is if he wanted to skip both Saka and Salah. And I think it's a lot more difficult than it was a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I probably would have said Darwin, but like we said, he's a roller coaster that runs off the rails. So who do you like here as rogue captaincy shout?
I think the list is probably seriously two players long. It's Eze and it's Virgil van Dijk. And yes, I teased the idea of going crazy with Trent. The risk there is just probably too great. There is a reality where Joe Gomez starts one game and he only plays, let's say, 115 minutes in this double game week. And
yep.
You want the 90-minute guys. So I think that Trent is probably off the table as a serious differential. But Eze, I think he plays 170 minutes of this double game week. And I think he has, let's say, three really big chances going against two of the worst defenses, both games at home. So he's going to get home cooking. I like that. And he's going to be a major differential. So if you have like 40 points to make up in your mini league on your rival, or if you're Brian and you're just trying to save some face and get the shit talk me on next week's podcast, armband on Eze looks really nice, actually, for many managers.
I think from a game state perspective, I also think that West Ham and Newcastle both think they can just plow over Crystal Palace. And so they might be setting up in an attacking formation where Eze might be able to thread the needle on a pass to Mateta and then get an open play goal. And so that puts you in a good position, just thinking of a lot of the chances that will be had by Eze. So I think he would be my number one shout for the rogue captaincy.
All right, head and heart in alignment here. Let's go to our final segment, our transfer plans and captaincy shouts. Brian, I'll lay out. I'm going to let you go first. What are your plans going into double trouble game week 34?
Oh man, I'm in a sticky wicket here with my team. I have two free transfers, 0.0 in the bank, and have a number of flags that have unfortunately just crept up. So Bradley is flagged, Odegaard is flagged, and now Branthwaite today went off pre 60 minutes. And I was hoping to start him versus NFO, which I think is going to be a very cagey game as those teams try to avoid relegation. So I'm in a spot where right now I have, I believe, 9 double game week players, but two of those are defenders from Bournemouth. So, you know, Zabarni, he's going to have to get some jam. Maybe he can get a lucky clean sheet or something in his matchups, but Neto in goal for me as well. So if for any reason Odegaard were to play in the second leg of UCL and re-injure himself or come off really early, then I might look to actually move him to Kai and then also move Son to Eze and then just start Cole Palmer and start Haaland as my two single game week players. Not the end of the world, kind of shitty with my Bournemouth double defense, but my most likely moves at this point in time, assuming that Odegaard is healthy, I will be looking to move Son to Eze, and then I'll be looking to move Bradley to VVD, and then it's a real coin flip for me. It's either going to be bringing in somebody like Luis Diaz for Palmer or bring in Cunha. So I'm looking at a -4. I'm going to bring three double game week players into my side, and it's really just trying to figure out how I rate the expected minutes for the players from Liverpool. But I'll have 10 double game week players. Some of them aren't as strong, but hopefully you get some jam. And hey, we saw Zabarni come in with a goal in his previous double game week, and he was a mini hero. So I'm hoping to see that once again. And then captaincy for me, right now it's on Saka, but yeah, the Eze shout could be fun as well. I don't expect them to score a ton of goals, but they have been putting in some good performances as of late. So that could be fun as well. And I have nothing to play for, so ready to pack it up and head into my wild card in 35. Bucks, let's transition to your team, because I'm still quite admittedly up in the air. So I guess we'll get your take quick. Who are your favorite transfers in for my squad in particular?
Yeah, we talked about this offline. I'm all about you taking a -4 and just going full vibes, full hype. I think
get Trent.
I think you should stretch to get Trent if you can afford him, because he is one of the most fun players of our FPL careers, and he has that magic in his boot. So you know that it's not absurd to see him have maybe three attacking returns in this double game week if he gets the minutes. He could have two assists and a goal. That's not crazy and not out of this world. I mean, it's a little bit of a dream and stretch, but it's not impossible. And I think Eze is a lock for your team. Move Odegaard, move Son, move one of those guys who's not going to play twice. Probably Odegaard, if he's fit, you just keep him. But I think maybe Son to Eze, Bradley to Trent, and maybe if you have to, Odegaard. Yeah, you probably have to make the funds work, right? So you'd have to go like Odegaard to Olise or Odegaard to Kai, and maybe you have just enough shekels in the bank to make that happen.
Yeah, it'll be a close one. We'll see what happens in Europe. So I'll definitely be eating any price rises and making those transfers late. I think for me, the scenario that could play out where I just don't see myself going for Darwin. So Cunha seems like a fun pick as well. So Cunha and Eze are from teams that I would never usually have assets from. And so that also just seems like fun to have a 1 week punt before I wild card and get those two guys in and then maybe bring in another lad. So we'll see. And luckily I don't have any value really built up in Cole Palmer. I've transferred him in and out over the course of a couple different scenarios in the season. So I'm actually only losing like 0.1 on both Son and Palmer, who I'm going to transfer out and then bring in to my wildcard squad. So I really probably am going to play 3-5-2, but enough about me, Bucks. Let's transition to your squad. What's happening?
Yeah. So I used two free transfers, cleared the deck going into this game week to get an additional double game week player. I've been planning for double game week 34, knowing that I have no chips. So I am on 9 doublers, and Haaland is for sure. He's locked in my team with a single game week. Barring an injury in Champions League, I think he gets the start. He wants the golden boot just as much as Cole Palmer does. And so he will be gunning and a little selfish, taking every possible opportunity. Not that he doesn't already. The guy is a very one-dimensional player, and we love him for it, for FPL points. So he's in my team. And then my final decision is just Cole Palmer or Garnacho for that final attacking spot. Palmer, as you mentioned, plays away at Arsenal. That could be a very cagey match, but he has penalties. And Garnacho, in a much less cagey match, plays at home against the worst team in the league, Chef U, but he doesn't have penalties. And he seems to be a little bit in ETH's doghouse for some reason. I mean, the only dog at Manchester United is that scoundrel, Eric Ten Fraud. So I don't know why he's going after a sub 20 year old who's been one of the surprise standout performers of their season. That made no sense to me. And so that's my dilemma right now. I'm going to roll the transfer. I want to have two to get Son in, probably for Salah. And I just feel so ick right now about the potential of giving Salah the armband because he's doing absolutely nothing. He's taking a lot of shots, but I don't think he's made one vintage Salah control, one touch and shoot from open play in three or four game weeks. He's just looking like he's a little out of sync or out of sorts. So I'm a little concerned to give him the armband. He has been really good to us in past years. So right now, Saka is my captain. Knowing that you're also feeling the same way, Brian, I might have to follow Connor's lead and get a little wacky duty late night here on the East Coast and make a change. But who knows? And I think really what we are targeting is seeing a lot of big scores. I mean, we want to follow the winner of the manager of the game week's lead and be seeing scores touching 120, maybe even 130 points with bench boost in game week 34. It's going to be super fun. I'm hoping to be on a green arrow back into the good scores, despite not using a chip. Hopefully you can follow me into the green arrows, rise rank, even with a minus four. I think there are going to be a lot of hits, a lot of chips, and a lot of points in double blank game week 34. It's going to be a vibe.
Let's just hope we don't have to drown our sorrows in some chips and gravy after the game week ends. This one's going to be a long game week as well because of the rescheduled fixtures. So we're going to be potting in about 9 days time. So we will catch all of you on the socials as we root on all of our players. And best of luck to everybody in double game week 34. We'll catch you next week.
Everyone, send your love to Black Wolf. Follow and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform to the at FPL USA Press Play podcast. You can find us on social media. We're pretty fun hangs. Brian is at FPL USA Brian. I'm at FPL USA Bucks. And Black Wolf, the most popular of our hosts, is at FPL underscore Black Wolf. So again, let's get Black Wolf back into the top 10K. Let's get him back on the podcast fully fit. And let's all get big scores and green arrows in game week 34. Toodles.